Summer is here, and you know what doesn't belong in your epic summer plans? Getting burned by your old wireless bill. While you're planning beach trips, barbecues, three-day weekends, your wireless bill should be the last thing holding you back. And that's why I made the switch to Mint Mobile, and I've been loving it. With Mint, you get the coverage and speed you're used to, but for way less money. And for a limited time, Mint Mobile is offering 3 months unlimited premium wireless service for $15 a month. So while your friends are sweating over data overages and surprise charges, you'll be chilling, literally and financially. Say bye-bye to all your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile will rescue you. All plans come with a high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. Ditch the overpriced wireless, get 3 months of unlimited service from Mint Mobile for $15 a month. I switched in June. You should too. The first few months, I saved almost $100 by switching to Mint Mobile. This year, skip breaking a sweat and breaking the bank, get the new customer offer, and get your 3 month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month at mintmobile.com/FWP. That's mintmobile.com/FWP. An upfront payment of $45 required, equivalent to $15 a month. Limited new time customer offer for the first 3 months only. Speeds may slow above 35 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Taxes and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details. mintmobile.com/FWP.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another prediction show here on Fightful with me, Stephanie Cheers, predicting two nights of SummerSlam with the busiest man in podcasting, overbooked indeed. It's SP3. SP3, how are you doing?
It's been too long, Steph. Anytime you ask me, I am here. I don't care what my schedule looks like. I love talking about the graps with you. And SummerSlam should be a busy time of the year. WrestleMania week was busy for me. All In week was busy for me. It wouldn't be right if SummerSlam weekend wasn't busy for me.
And you were just on Overbooked, right?
Yes, on In the Weeds with Jeremy talking. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we talk not a lot about wrestling, but we had a lot of wrestling to discuss. We talked G1, WWE Unreal, my C-suite talking about C-level WWE shows, LFG and Evolve, and some Dynamite as well. So that was fun. So I talked about things that we won't be talking about here.
LFG and Evolve, man. Someone's got to watch them, I guess.
I'm the guy. I've literally made them my lot in life. And it's got me interviews with the winners of season one. And I got to interview The Undertaker. And if anybody's been watching me for any number of years, y'all know I was the biggest hater of The Undertaker's retirement tour. But he's actually a nice guy.
I'm glad. Well, he was my guy growing up, so but hopefully he won't listen to the grapple stream I did last week where I talked about the problems of his aging, etc. But you know, I'd still take the chance if I got it just for little me. Well, awesome. We are talking about SummerSlam SP3, and we have a lot to get into. We have two nights, which means two cards. So there's a lot of matches. We're going to be predicting all of them. Everyone, get your predictions in. We got no time to waste. But first, let's hear from our sponsor over at MyBookie.
Hey guys, Sean Rossap here to tell you about MyBookie.ag. Yes, you can bet on professional wrestling. I know a lot of people watching this know that they have some insight. They've got a little bit of a heads up. And if you think that you know more than the odds makers, head over to mybookie.ag. Use that code FIGHTFUL. Get a $50 bonus with a $100 deposit or a $100 bonus with a $200 deposit. They have lines on upcoming shows for WWE, AEW, as well as all other sports. But leave it a little bit of extra if you feel very confident in the direction of some of the booking, the direction of some of the storylines. You can bet on anything, anytime, anywhere with mybookie.ag. Use that code FIGHTFUL. Please only bet what you can, and please bet responsibly. Mybookie.ag bringing you the best experience from the best. Mybookie.ag and the code FIGHTFUL.
Thank you, Sean, and mybookie.ag. All right, SB3, first I need to ask you, it's the first time that we're getting this two nights of SummerSlam. Do you think this warrants two nights with the card that we've got?
I think that they can make it work. I won't say that this card is worthy of two nights. I think that night one has some matches that feel like they're on a road to card if you watch New Japan, or on a Dynamite before the actual pay-per-view type of card. But I think that if you broke it down, this would be I would be probably looking forward to a one night SummerSlam if they cut a couple of matches off and just made it one card. I think it would be a better SummerSlam card that way, but I'm willing to give them the chance to prove me wrong. It took 2 years before I was like, WrestleMania is worthy of WrestleMania already is the biggest show of the year, but it felt like 2021 after the pandemic for WrestleMania 37. That's when I was like, okay, it should be two nights because it's able to get more people on. It's able to have a bad show and a good show, so it evens out to just fine. So hopefully we can get more than that this year, and they don't have a lot to live up to for, depending on how you felt about WrestleMania 41.
Yeah, I'm willing to give them the chance to. I think I would always prefer like one good card instead of like two nights. Or, I mean, we just saw a mammoth pay-per-view from AEW, and like with that, I would have shaved a lot off that too. So I think I'd be happy with like one really tight card for something like SummerSlam where it's all big matches, but they want that coin. So two night SummerSlam it is. So let's get started on night one. And let's start with Sami Zayn versus Karrion Kross. And we have a stipulation. If Kross wins, Zayn has to say the words "Kross was right." If Zayn wins, Kross must say "I was wrong about Zayn." So, SP3, are you on the Karrion Kross train?
I am a fan of Karrion Kross. I've been a fan of Karrion Kross since he was Killer Kross, and I saw him in like Lucha Underground and TNA. I think that the right result, though, here is for Sami Zayn to pick up the win, because I think that we are getting close to the finish of his story of him winning a world championship, and I think this is just a stop in that. But I think that he should win, but Kross was right, and it should be Zayn getting the win due to using the lead pipe. So we accomplish both things. It's not about Kross winning, it's about him being right. So he needs to be right in the end, but Zayn wins.
I think I would have initially said Kross wins, but I like your booking. I like your smarter booking there of making it still that Kross was right. I do think Sami Zayn's on that title path. And I hope they continue this with Karrion Kross, like continue this kind of push that he's getting, because I've always really liked Karrion Kross. And Scarlett too. So it is nice to like see him getting something, and he is very good at that, you know, character that he's found for himself is great. So yeah, I'm going to join you and say that I think Sami Zayn will win this one as well. And I think they'll have a pretty good match too. It's not going to be one of Sami's best, but I think it will be pretty good. All right.
He won across his best.
Yeah, we'll be one across. I was trying to sidestep saying something like that, but yeah, it will be one across his best, I think. All right, let's move on to the Women's Tag Team Championship. We have the Judgment Day, Raquel and Roxanne versus Charlotte and Alexa Bliss. And I think with this one, I think when it started, I didn't think that the Charlotte and Alexa thing would go too far, but I think they'd be kind of daft to like stop it now. And giving them the title, I think, seems like a good idea. I think this is definitely the best Charlotte's been received in a really long time. So they've got something there. I think they kind of need to tell this story between them like a little bit better, and a little like leave a little less to it of like what we know from outside the ring stuff. Raquel and Roxanne, I've really been liking that like partnership and everything that's going on since Liv is gone. But maybe it would be good for Roxanne to maybe like screw up a little bit. And yeah, I think that Charlotte and Alexa, I can see them put the titles on that and kind of cement this partnership like properly, since it does seem to be going really well for at least Charlotte. How do you feel about this one, Sid?
I think you're absolutely right. Like, it would be ill-advised to not ride the hot hand. And the hot hand right now is Charlotte and Alexa, especially coming off of what happened at Evolution, where they were the most over tag team in that four-way matchup. I think that they have this kind of vibe where they're very reminiscent. They're like a female version of RK-Bro or Rock and Sock Connection, the odd couple tag team that just works and gets over more than probably WWE intended it to. And I agree with you with Roxanne and Raquel. I really like them together. Honestly, from the look, from the way they work in the ring, I think they're the better tag team between Raquel and Liv than Raquel and Roxanne. I think Roxanne works better with Raquel more, where Raquel doesn't just feel like a bodyguard or a sidekick like she does with Liv. They feel Liv more like tag team partners.
Yeah, it Liv and Raquel were good, but it was very much like Liv was like the total star and Raquel just happened to be her tag team partner.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm going with Allies of Convenience.
Allies of Convenience, Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss. Okay, it's hard to pick like what order to talk about all these ones. We've got some that are just kind of all the same. Shall we do the celebrity involvement in this year's SummerSlam? Randy Orton and Jelly Roll versus Drew McIntyre and Logan Paul. So earlier this week, we found out that Drew had been a bit of a silly billy and not brought his US passport with him when he went home. But it appears that he is going to be there to team with Logan Paul. Jelly Roll, like anything I've seen of Jelly Roll has been against my will, whether it's been in WWE or like I see his wife on TikTok to the point where I had to like block her. I'm like, who is this woman? I don't want to like see this, you know, when you're just scrolling the For You page because she's really popular. But not a fan. And I was just listening to Rich Fan and Wade Keller talk about like Jelly Roll, and Wade put to him like, on what kind of celebrity level do you think he is? And like they started with, is he like the Karl Malone or is he like the Jay Leno as far as like how much he'll need to be like led in this? So I don't know. I don't have like much knowledge of Jelly Roll. Are you any more up on Mr. Roll?
I'm not, fully aware of his celebrity status as far as like where I think he is wrestling wise. I think like Karl Malone is probably the most apt comparison or description for him. He seems to know basics, but you're going to have to kind of guide him. And that's why it's good to have him in a tag team matchup. But I just think that because of the way they booked this storyline, I can't go with my natural kind of intuition is go, oh, always the celebrity's going to win. You know, Bad Bunny, Dennis Rodman, they always win. They always win. I can't go with that because they booked it so strong where Jelly Roll has gotten the better of Logan Paul on Jimmy Kimmel. He got the better of him on SmackDown a couple of weeks ago. Every time that they had interactions to set this up, he's bodied Logan Paul. So it feels like Logan Paul and Drew McIntyre is going to get the win. And it's also because I feel like I have way too many baby faces winning on night one.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Drew and Logan too. I'm not into this Jelly Roll guy. I think I prefer Travis Scott, to be honest, to Jelly Roll coming out.
That's a hot take. I like that. That's a hot take. I mean, I
don't know Jelly Roll's music, but I'm going to guess I won't like it. But I do like Travis Scott's music. And okay. Two, I just think it's so funny, like hearing you and Benno talk yesterday about the Unreal show and like why Travis Scott is just like ended up being like factored into all this is just so funny to me. Like Triple H having to call up Travis Scott, like it's just funny. It's just
he called Travis Scott before John Cena about a John Cena heel turn. Yeah. And I mean, I do say, like, if you're talking about celebrity, yeah, Travis Scott is more famous than Jelly Roll for sure. Yeah. He's in the hip hop genre, which is bigger than country overall, unless you're Beyonce. And he's also
Kardashian fans know him.
Yeah, exactly. The Kardashian fans know him. He's cool to the kids and all of that. But I mean, has he been able to perform one song more times on WWE television than "You Ain't Nothing But a Liar"? Don't you catch me in the fire? I don't need to know if he has another song. Like, at this
oh my point, God,
he's liar every single time.
I don't know. I don't want to hate the poor guy, but like Jelly Roll's not for me. Jelly Roll's not for me. I'm not a big fan of like celebrity, you know, matches anyway. Though I don't put Logan Paul in that, even though he started as a celebrity, he's like, you know, proper. And like someone like Bad Bunny was awesome. Like I didn't really know anything about Bad Bunny, but he impressed me a lot. But just something tells me Jelly Roll isn't going to be like the next, you know, Bad Bunny or anything. And I think we're better for that. Like hopefully it's a one and done, but I don't think so. I think we'll be seeing old Jelly again. All right. Next up, let's do for the Women's Championship, Tiffany Stratton versus Jade Cargill. Why don't you take this one, SB3? Who you got?
This is like the biggest matchup on the show where I just feel like I don't know how the quality is going to be on this matchup, because not to say that these two women aren't good in the ring. I think that Tiffany Stratton is so athletic. She has so much agility and she's had good to great matches, whether she's in the ring with like Becky Lynch or the Nia Jax matches and stuff like that. Jade Cargill, I think that WWE have handicapped Jade Cargill in so many different ways during this run. It really feels like they are highlighting her weaknesses instead of highlighting her strengths. Her going into the John Cena 2010s formula of sell for like over 50% of the matchup, and then she hits one or two moves and gets the win. It's just not really capitalizing on what makes Jade Cargill an absolute star. You look at her, she looks like a movie star. She looks like an action figure, a superhero. You should be presenting her like the beast that she can be. And I think that WWE has kind of handicapped her. And I think both ladies in general are miscast as baby faces. Like, I made the analogy of if anybody in the chat ever play like NBA 2K, when you have someone like Steph Curry, who's like a 99 overall at point guard, and then you make him into a center, he drops down to like an 80 or 79. Mm-hmm. Like Jade Cargill as a heel is like a 95. If you drop her down to making her a baby face, she's like a 75. Like it's really a downgrade for her. She should be a heel, and same thing for Tiffany. So I'm scared about this matchup with both of them being baby faces, but I'm hoping that my lower expectations leads to a better matchup. In the end, though, I think that they're very committed to pushing Jade Cargill, so I'm going with Jade.
I think with Jade, she's so I don't think she has the most like natural aptitude for wrestling, even though like she is, you know, a great athlete and everything, but that doesn't necessarily translate into like great wrestler. And I think that when AEW had her, they, you know, just did make her like this monster, and it like she wasn't selling and stuff like that. And I think the WWE has maybe tried to make her into like a well-rounded wrestler like anyone else, where they kind of do both. And it's you're right, it's not her strength at all. And it kind of just like shows her up too. And also making her baby face as well just like takes away all just from the aura that she had. So I'm not necessarily saying like she was better off in AEW, but she certainly stood out more in AEW. And like she has a a limited ability that was used to the like maximum there. Whereas like in WWE, it just seems to be not like fully clicking. But her not being that great, I think in this day and age, doesn't mean that she won't become women's champion. I think it just all depends on like what stories that they want to tell. I think Tiffany is like definitely a natural heel as well. And I think Tiffany really needs to be just put like positioned against someone that people really, really super like, so that they'll boo her and that like natural heelness can come out. And, you know, it's not Jade. So I worry for this match too. There might be a chance it's good, but it might be a bit messy as well. And I'm going to go for Jade as well, because I'm still thinking about Naomi and what they could do if they both, you know, have titles, title versus title matches, you know, maybe coming up later in the year. So I'm going to go for Jade as well. And I think Jade, you know, becoming women's champion in WWE will be a big deal, you know, with her AEW pass. But yeah, I'm still not sure she's ready for it, but I think they'll give it to her anyway.
Yeah.
Sorry, I thought you said you got
it. No, no, I was just agreeing with you. Like, yeah, it just it feels like she's going to get this push regardless of where she's at right now. And I think that she's good for what she can do. It's just that they're not giving her the opportunity to show that.
For sure. All right, now we have a tag team match, Roman Reigns and Jey Uso versus Braun Breaker and Bronson Reed, with Paul Heyman, of course. I mean, Roman coming back to do a tag match, I don't know. I'd rather see him in a singles match, for sure. I'm going to say that Roman and Jey win because they were beaten down so badly, though I think I'd rather see Braun and Bronson win because they're younger, basically, like that's it. But I just can't say that I'm very enthralled with this. I think there's more stuff to go into, like potentially with Seth, and I don't know if that's a talking point for now or later, but on this match itself, how are you feeling?
I think that the right decision, if you're thinking towards the future, is definitely for the Braun Stars to win this matchup, because they look like an overpowering force on Monday. And one of my favorite things I saw this week in wrestling is Bronson Reed doing a Debo to Roman Reigns and stealing his sneakers. He needs to come out with the sneakers around his neck and stuff like that. Just wear the sneakers, something. He needs to do something with the sneakers after jacking
them. There has to be an end for that.
But yeah, you're absolutely right. It's Roman Reigns making it in his first matchup since WrestleMania. He has not really won since the Netflix premiere. He hasn't won a match. Like he lost at WrestleMania. He lost in the Royal Rumble. He needs to win a matchup here. And I think him and Jey pick up the victory. But I think that it's going to be Roman pinning Bronson Reed, because you're going to save the big matchup that they're saving here by doing this tag matchup is Braun versus Roman, which I think either happens by the end of the year or it happens at WrestleMania next year.
Yeah, there's no way Braun Breaker should be getting the pin. As I mean, it's been nice to see Bronson Reed get like a more prominent role, but at the same time, I think Braun is the investment guy, Braun Breaker. So I'd make sure that no matter what the outcome is, I'd make sure that he looks strong, because they've actually been doing a pretty good job with him so far. All right, now we're on to my main event, Gunther versus CM Punk for the World Championship. This is one that I'm excited to see, but I haven't enjoyed the build. I think they pulled it back a little this week, but it just feels like it's not Punk versus Gunther. It's like Punk versus anyone. And it feels like maybe like eggshells are being walked on or something. Like no one wants to say anything like actually, you know, like real or personal that would kind of like constitute anything close to like a proper grudge. And that's a bit annoying, because like they're two such strong, you know, different characters that you could really work something. I mean, like there's a similarity and they both are very into like discipline with how Gunther is and Punk straight edge stuff. But then they're also very different personality types. So I don't know. This just feels like Punk's being slotted into maybe a challenger of the month type situation, where I kind of think that he in the match deserves more than this. So I'm picking Gunther for the win, because to me, they haven't done anything with Punk that shows me he's like the next champion. How do you feel?
That's a good point. I feel like, you know, what we were talking about with Tiffany and Jade, another reason why I'm worried about that matchup is because of the lack of build that they had there with, like, they only interacted once in the weeks leading up to there. This one, though, this matchup here feels like the biggest victim of the fact that WWE has oversaturated their year, where we just had a major show 3 weeks ago with Gunther and Goldberg, and then we had to transition quickly, and we only had two segments with Punk and Gunther, where one of the segments could have been an email. Could have been an email 2 weeks ago. That was bad. I do agree with you. They pulled me back in a little bit with the segment on Monday, because Punk had more fire. He had more passion. He had more energy to his promo. But then when I actually watched it a second time, I was like, I agree 1,000%. We're on the same page. This could have been a promo for anybody. It could have been. It's Punk doing a promo on the World Heavyweight Champion, not Punk doing a promo on World Heavyweight Champion Gunther. Him saying there's levels to this kid and not acknowledging the fact that Gunther just beat Goldberg, a legend and Hall of Famer. Like you said, you've beaten all these legend and Hall of Famers. Gunther's beaten Randy Orton, who's a Hall of Famer and a legend himself as well. Like, acknowledge the stuff. Put over Gunther before you're talking about this quest of I need to be the champion. I need to do this. Like, put over the guy that you're facing so we can feel like this is an actual best in the world battle between someone you respect and you're bigging up, and that it's for you to realize your quest of winning the World Heavyweight Championship. So that's like, there's little nitpicks there.
Sorry. I just think that Punk mentioning, like, wanting the world title so much feels like a giveaway that he's not winning it, because if he was, like, I think when he wins it, it's going to be in some big moment of, like, some big feud, not, like, night one of SummerSlam in a feud that had, like, a three-week build. If it means, like, that much to him, I see it much more likely that he, you know, in some way gets to beat John Cena or something like that, you know, if his whole thing is about how much he wants a championship. So I think that he probably shouldn't have even gone so hard in that, because it just makes it seem like he's not winning. And then if they swerve us and he does, then it's a bit of a flat moment for, like, CM Punk winning a WWE championship after everything that's happened his whole career. Like, it's wild. But sorry, continue.
No, you're absolutely right. Like, it doesn't feel like this night one is going to end with CM Punk World Heavyweight Champion. But I also just, I love Gunther. I think Gunther is the best wrestler in WWE, one of the best wrestlers in the world. He's put on some of the greatest WWE matches of all time. He's been pushed way bigger than I ever thought he would when I saw Walter on the independent scene like 8-9 years ago. But I still haven't seen him beat one of the top stars in the company. So I don't believe I'm going to see it on Saturday. So I will say, if we're going to get a result between the two of them, I think it is more likely that Punk wins this championship. Honestly, my real prediction, it would be Seth Rollins cashes in and that this has all been a ploy of his injury. But if I had to pick between these two, I'm saying CM Punk wins and becomes the World Heavyweight Champion.
So you don't think Seth is really injured? I don't think he is.
I don't think he is.
I think they're doing like a weird work. I don't think he's injured at all. So you think Punk wins and Seth immediately cashes in?
That's the result that I would book, but I tend to always feel if I'm already guessing this, they're gonna try to swerve me in some way. So I'm not 100% that Seth is going to cash in. So if I have to pick between, like I said, Gunther and Punk, I'm going with Punk, only because I have to see WWE put Gunther over one of the top guys. They literally don't even put him against one of the top guys. And when they do, he lost to Cody. So I have to see it to believe it.
Seth cashing in on Punk would make total sense because they have this rivalry that's been going on since Punk, you know, came back or whatever. So like that would really, it would make such sense that he ruins this whole like dream of Punk's to win the title. I just like, I almost can't see Punk going for being the guy that holds the title for like a couple of seconds or whatever, but I suppose they could make it a triple threat and then Punk doesn't like, if he, sure, they could turn into, which is always like a silly idea, I think, but anyway, they could make it a triple threat and Seth wins. But I think Seth is coming back at SummerSlam, yeah, and I do think he's cashing in, and I think that I could see him beating Gunther. Like, I still think that Gunther's going to win just because I think it'd be too sad for Punk to win. And I do think Seth has to win. So I think Seth leaves SummerSlam as champion. Like, that's night one.
This feels like a heart pull from you. You're going, yeah, with your CM Punk heart. Like, it's too sad for Punk to win in these circumstances.
It's too sad. Like, my little Punk just fell off my shelf before I started recording, so that might mean something that very sad, because you know, but when he went to Saudi Arabia to do that show and all that stuff happened, I was away, and when I came home, my Punk poster had fallen off my wall, and I haven't put it up since. I just thought it was an omen.
That's hilarious. It was as soon as the bell rang is probably when it fell.
I just came home and he was like lying on the ground and I was like, all right, anyway.
Seems appropriate.
Shall we move on to night two? And let's start with a six-pack tables, ladders, and chairs match. We're going back to the 2000s here. We got the Wyatt Six, Dexter Lumis, and Joe Gacy, Andrade and Ray Phoenix, DIY, Gargano and Ciampa, Fraxium, Axiom, and Nathan Frazier, Motor City Machine Guns, and the Street Profits. SB3, did you think we'd ever have to talk about Dexter Lumis again in our lives?
I did not think we would have to talk about Dexter Lumis in one of the biggest matches at SummerSlam this year.
You know, we have to pick him or we'll get tweets.
Get all the tweets, all the threats. But no, I think that this has all the potential to be one of the best matches of the weekend. It's going to be an absolute car crash. Having six teams in there is just crazy. And the fact that they had a match of the year candidate earlier in a TLC matchup with the Profits, DIY, and Motor City Machine Guns gives me faith that this will be just as good, adding Fraxium, adding the Lucha Cousins, as I call them, Andrade and Rafe Phoenix, and also the Wyatt Six are there to catch some people. But I'm going to go with my heart over my head. My head is saying Wyatt Six just won the title, so they'll probably keep him. But my heart is saying, please crown Fraxium. Fraxium was the best tag team in the world last year, and they've kind of had to take a back seat since the Wyatt Six came back. They came back and interfered in their tag team title shot, so they win the titles here.
I think that this is kind of like, it's a like lazy booking wise, just throw all these tag teams in this, but I think you're right that it will be one of the best matches of the night. It's going to be really fun. So it's one of those that like we can complain about, like the booking of the tag division and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, it's going to be a fun match. I think my head says Motor City Machine Guns, just for some kind of like stability for the tag division, like put those veterans there. But like you, if I was booking it, I would go for a Fraxium as well, because those guys have been so great, like since NXT and on the main roster. I think they deserve this, and I think that they'll open up for like some really great matches down the line if you have them. All right, let's go with Solo Sikoa versus Jacob Fatu. It's a steel cage match for the United States Championship. I think every time they've had a match, I've picked Jacob, not been right. But I think it is going to be Jacob this time. Like, to me, he's either too, like, good to win it, Or like they were just waiting to crowd him like at SummerSlam. But I think Jacob, how about you?
Definitely Jacob Fatu for the win. I've been a big fan of Jacob Fatu. I was the one of the people that was like, Jacob Fatu should be the one to dethrone John Cena when he became WWE champion. Wow. Put him over in a big way because he has main eventer written all over him. But I would be amiss if I didn't give love to Solo Sikoa. Solo Sikoa is the funniest pro wrestler in the game today. He is just hilarious. The fact that he went from Timu Tribal Chief trying to be a lesser version of Roman Reigns and nobody bought it. Everybody was calling him one of the worst wrestlers in main events since like Jinder Mahal. And then he just accepted that that's not going to be his character. His character is the little brother when the parents leave and he thinks he's in charge. That yeah. Once he realized that, and he is just plays that role to a T, he's been so entertaining. He's been great. He will still have stuff to do with the MFTs, but Jacob Fatu, new US champion.
Yeah, I don't think Solo's good, but I think he's much improved. I'd put him on my most improved list, not my best list, but Jacob, I'm 100% behind, and I want him to win. Okay, the Women's Intercontinental Championship. It is my two fellow country women, once again, Becky Lynch versus Lyra Valkyria. No disqualification, no count out. Last chance, if Becky wins, Lyra can no longer challenge for the title as long as Lynch is champion. Who've you got for this one, SB3?
This is another one. This is why I feel night two is going to be better than night one, because it has like three matches that I know are going to be at least very good to great. And this is one of them. These two women just work so well with one another. They had a great match at Backlash, another great match at Money in the Bank, an underrated fantastic match at Evolution with Bayley, and then yeah. Bayley and Lyra tore it up in the 2 out of 3 falls matchups. Lyra's great when the bell rings. Her with a mic in her hand, a whole different story, especially on Monday. That was not good. Not good. But when the bell rings, she's one of the best in the company. And I'm going to have to go with... No, I'm going with Becky Lynch. She mentions me in her promos all the time. I'm the Sports Illustrated in every Becky Lynch promo. I will never go against the GOAT, Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch for the win.
I think that Lyra, yeah, she's fantastic in the ring. She just doesn't have the other elements down. But I think that having her work closely with Becky is really good, because Becky, you know, it took Becky a while to find herself and become the Becky Lynch that we know now. So it's great to kind of see them working together. I'm going to go with Becky as well. I think that Becky is going to dominate for a while. And I think that Bayley will factor in somewhere in this match too. Because like they've got to be setting up something bigger for her. So yeah. And I think Lyra, maybe she'll probably move away from this like Becky thing, but I think that hopefully they stay like behind the scenes coaching her, because I just think it's valuable for Lyra to have someone like Becky, like from the same place as her, giving her that hand that she needs with the promos and stuff, because she's got like a heck of a lot of potential. She just needs to be like a better all-rounder.
Agreed.
All right, let's move on to Dirty Dominic Mysterio versus AJ Styles for the Intercontinental Championship. I love Dom. He's great. I think everyone loves Tom. And I think this is a really great match for him, because I think that AJ, he's getting on a bit, but he still does deliver. He's still like one of the most reliable performers on this roster. And I think Dominic getting in the ring with him can only benefit Dominic. So I think it's going to be a really good match. And I think the crowd are going to be really good for it too, because like people have like a place in their heart for AJ. But people are really, really getting behind like Dominic. It's kind of confusing why he hasn't turned, but I guess it's just not the time. I'm going to stick with Dominic winning for this one, just because I think that AJ, like, he doesn't need to beat Dominic. Like, he's a legend. And Dominic, I'm just really enjoying his champion, and I want to see him continue. How about you?
I think they've done a really good job with this rivalry because they could have got done with it at Night of Champions. And then when the match was pulled because of Dom's injury, they could have like dropped it off or just blow it off on an episode of Raw like they do a lot of the mid-card titles. Mm-hmm. But the fact they're giving it the matchup at SummerSlam and they were still able to do stuff in the in-between with AJ just creating meme after meme after meme. And then the master of disguise, AJ Styles, as a janitor and a valet and a medical physician. That was really good stuff. And it worked. You heard the reaction in Detroit on Monday where they were on fire for AJ Styles and Dominic Mysterio in the ring with each other. So I agree with you. The crowd in New Jersey, they're going to be into this matchup. But in the end, I agree. Yeah, Dominic Mysterio has to retain this title.
Yeah. All right. Now for the Women's World Championship, we got Naomi versus Rhea Ripley versus Io Sky. This one's kind of interesting. I think that Naomi, despite being champion, she's just a little bit of a third wheel in it because Rhea and Io have like so much history and like so much between them, and that feels like a really like long-term rivalry. I have really enjoyed Naomi in her new role. She's a little bit like, I don't want to say cheesy, but like she's a little bit like, you know, playbook heel or whatever, but I think she's really enjoyable and I really liked her. So I can see that. I just feel like she's totally going to play the heel in it, in that there's going to be a lot of Rhea and Io action, but in the end, it's going to be Naomi sneaking in and stealing that pin when Rhea and Io have basically just like depleted each other completely and they're on like zero in the power bar, and then Naomi can get a pin in some way. But I don't see any way Naomi loses right now.
I'm actually going to go a different route only Ooh. Because I was really thinking Naomi holds this title until we get to Perth and then we have Rhea win the title in Australia. Mm-hmm. But then I was reminded that WWE did say they were going to do that crown jewel BS again, where it's champion versus champion. So you can't do Rhea winning the title in Australia if you do that. So you got to put the title on Rhea before we get to Australia. And this seems like the best option to do it. Plus, that will give us Rhea Ripley versus Stephanie Vaquer. Plus, there was that backstage segment on Monday Night Raw where Io reminded Rhea that she's never beaten her. And Rhea's like, we'll see. Well, we'll see on Sunday. And I think Rhea Ripley, new champion.
Oh, what do you think would happen to Naomi then?
I think Naomi will still be in the mix. She'll still be the main heel. But really, what Naomi is doing right now, she's just filling in for Liv Morgan. She's playing the Liv Morgan spot, where you don't necessarily need the title to still be the main heel, because the top three stars on the Raw women's division right now are all babyfaces. It's Rhea, it's Io, and it's Stephanie Vaquer, where Naomi could still be in the mix. I could see Naomi getting the title back after Perth, like towards like the fall and like going into Survivor Series and stuff like that. She can always get the title back, because I think that it's all important for Naomi. She doesn't have to have a long reign with the title. She just has to have the title back by like January, because I see Bianca Belair winning the Raw Rumble. And I think it would be perfect for Bianca to win the Raw Rumble and have the option of either Naomi as world champion or Jade as WWE Women's Champion to choose from.
I think it would be, they'd have to just walk it like really carefully, because I think with Naomi, she's definitely like someone that people are always behind to like win something, and then she never does. And then it finally happened with the Money in the Bank, and now she's got the title. So I think if it's a short reign, I'd be conscious of it not looking like they've just done it as like a pat on the back, kind of like gold watch thing, like, oh yeah, well, you got it, Naomi. So I think it's fine for her to lose as long as she like definitely like stays in that top mix. But I do like your forward thinking logic, but I am going to stick with Naomi as my pick. But but yes, thank you. You're always like thinking ahead to the other pay-per-views, you know, like putting me in that mindset. You're like Triple H himself, you know, you've got the plan.
You know, this is what we do.
All right, are you ready for the main event? The street fight for the undisputed WWE Championship. It's John Cena versus Cody Rhodes. Why don't you kick us off, SP3?
You know, it went so well at WrestleMania, you know. It went, if you watch WWE Unreal, it went exactly how they wanted it to go. Mm-hmm. They had no complaints. They were all happy on how it went at WrestleMania. Look at that. This is what it was. Like, this is what they wanted. So they're going to run it back here. I think that this one is interesting only for the finish and the post-match. So I think that it's really simple. Cody Rhodes gets the win to become undisputed WWE champion again. But we have to create a scenario that has some shock, some twists and turns that ends the night with John Cena back as a babyface to finish off his retirement tour.
Okay.
So I think Cody gets the win. He offers a handshake to John Cena, and John Cena does not take it. He walks away. He's hearing the cheers from the crowd trying to tell him to go back and shake his hand as Cody waits in the ring, or he's celebrating. The Braun Stars, who lost on night one, they come out. We get a spear, a tsunami, and then the music of Seth Rollins hit. He comes out with Money in the Bank. It's the swerve. Like I said, when I was talking about Punk and Gunther, I was like, the thing that we're all thinking is Seth is faking the injury to cash in on Punk. And he swerves us all, and he cashes in on night two, because him not coming out on night one is going to make people be like, oh, maybe he is really injured. Maybe he is really injured. And then they turn it on us. He comes out to cash in. He's about to cash in. The Braun Stars are still beating down Cody, and John Cena comes back. He makes the save. He stops Seth from cashing in. He helps Cody up. And we end the night with Cody getting his hand risen by John Cena. And we set up so many different matches after SummerSlam. You set up the Braun Stars and Seth versus Cena, Cody, and Punk. The Dream Team. That's your main event for Clash in Paris. You've also set up the fact that they're going to do the Crown Jewel matchup. So you have those three guys teaming. And like I said, Punk wins on night one. So then you're doing Punk and Cody at Crown Jewel. Then you could do Cena and Seth at Crown Jewel as well. That you get all six of those guys plus two more for the War Games at Survivor Series. And then you end off the year with Braun Breaker getting the final win in his retirement match against John Cena. So you've set up everything for the rest of the year to finish off the John Cena retirement tour with Braun Stars and Seth as the heels to make that makes John Cena a babyface again. So babyface John Cena makes the save for Cody and stops Seth from cashing in.
Wow. I really like that. I really like that forward thinking. I don't know if I can see them giving Braun the retirement match, because I think that you always should do that, but I feel like they never do. You know,
they never do. They're probably going to be like Randy Orton.
Yeah, it just feels like that. I personally think it might be Punk or Cody, you know, but it should be, you know, like Undertaker and Lesnar. Like, it shouldn't have been Lesnar. Like, they always seem to give it, you know, to someone that doesn't need it, whereas Braun should be the one. I really like the idea of Seth cashing in. I don't know if they, but I do not feel like Seth having a failed cash in would make him look even worse, you know, as a leader.
No, that's why I said Cena stops him. Stops him from cashing in.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I think Seth coming out in this match, I think I'd like more, because I would be sad, of course, if he did it to Punk. I think I would like your idea like a whole lot more. I just can't see Cena losing the title. I think that they're obviously in a position where, like, to me, the heel turn hasn't worked. It wasn't well executed at all. And they need to turn him back. But I'm just kind of not sure that he's going to lose it until the end. I just kind of always saw him as like holding it right to the end. And then him like turning face. I don't know if they'll ever do it, because he's always getting those reactions, you know, though they should. So I've always seen it as like, in the end, Punk or Cody beat him in his last match. I would think probably Cody, but I think I'd like it to be Punk, just because I think he, you know, they have history, and Punk would probably get an okay match out of him. I mean, I think this match might be one of John's betters in this current run, but only because it's a street fight and that's a cheat code. Because he has not been performing in the ring, but he's still getting those reactions. But yeah, I think John's going to win. But I think they need to be really careful with Cody, and give him something that the fans can really get behind him again, and have him as that like top baby face again, because he was on such a run, but like I feel like it's all kind of waned and he's been booked pretty badly since all of it. Do you think we'll see an appearance from the great Travis Scott, or is it not a work that he's out?
Please, I need to hear Fiend. I've got that song still stuck in my head. He comes out and then Cody puts him through a table. Please. That would be great. I mean, that would be awesome. Big pop.
Any chance of Dwayne turning up to fuck things up, either on screen or behind?
Nope. He ain't showing up. He's like, I won't be there. He's like, I'm not going to New Jersey. Nope. Not going to do it.
Yeah, he doesn't really clean up his messes that that he's quite responsible for. But yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be John, but I wish they would go somewhere like more interesting. But I've never been a Cena fan, and I was definitely like shocked when he turned, but have just been disappointed since. Like, I'll give them that the moment was shocking, but I think everything else has just fallen flat, and there's not like the commitment to it that's needed, or definitely not the planning that was needed, even though Travis Scott okayed it. I think he should have asked more questions on that call, actually, and just really delved a little deeper into like he should have been like you, and like look at, like, he should have had a list of all the upcoming pay-per-views in front of him and been like, okay, well, what are you doing for Money in the Bank then? What are you going to do for SummerSlam, you know? But yeah. Well, what's your prediction on what night is going to be best? I think, having gone through it, it's kind of like they actually feel kind of even card wise, and they definitely could have made one like really, really great like 10 match show out of everything we've been through. I think I'm more excited for night one only because Punk's on it. And I think that night two might be better, but not because of like Cena and Cody. I think that tag match is going to be awesome. And I think the two women's match is going to be awesome. And I think that Dominic and AJ will totally rock. Maybe not Solo and Jacob, but I think all those are going to be like some of the most memorable matches from the show.
Yeah, I think night two is going to be the better in-ring night as far as like the match quality. Like you said, Becky and Lyra, that's always great. Naomi being the replacement for Bianca Belair in the triple threat from WrestleMania that stole the show. Mm-hmm. That's still my WWE match of the year. That's going to be awesome. The ladder match should be a complete car crash. AJ and Dom is going to surprise a bunch of people. I think Cena and Cody will be much better than they were at WrestleMania, because like you said, the cheat code of a street fight. And I think Solo and Jacob will be better than their first match of Night of Champions with a steel cage involved. Plus, we're going to see Jacob Fatu, his big self, jump off of top of the steel cage probably. So yeah. I'm here for it.
Solo, I think, I mean, he had one of his best matches when he was in a steel cage with Roman, right?
I think it was Cody. The USA premiere of SmackDown.
Yes. Yeah, that was one of his best outings. So maybe the steel cage is where he's at his best. Well, SP3, thank you so much for joining me and fitting me into your busy schedule. Please tell everyone all the places that they can find you and watch you online and follow everything you're doing.
I always enjoy chatting with you, Steph, my wrestling daily sister. You're always family to me. So anytime you need me for the prediction show, I love talking about these and giving my predictions from the second chair instead of having to cover everything. I like doing the second chair position here. So this is fun. You can follow me on the Twitter machine at TrueHeelSP3. I will be live once again, one more time today on the YouTube on the True Heel Heat Wrestling YouTube channel at 3:05 p.m. Eastern time or 8:05 in the UK with Jimmy McAram over on True Heel Heat for AE Ramble reviewing last night's AEW Dynamite. We go into detail, and if I like the show, which I did last night, I did enjoy last night's Dynamite, that means Jimmy hates the show. So you get a point of view of two different perspectives there. So join us for that, and I will be live on Saturday at 10:05 p.m. Eastern, 10:05 a.m. Eastern time, 3:05 in the UK for the True Heel Heat flagship podcast. It'll be myself and Miss Chrissy Love, and it's a special call-in episode where people from the chat can join us on screen and talk, give us your predictions for SummerSlam. So join us for that for the flagship. But thank you, as always, Steph.
You're welcome, SP3, and much love to Chrissy Love as well. And yes, everyone also check out SB3 on Grapple's YouTube page. You did that yesterday with Benno. That was really fun. You talked about what, like Hulk Hogan, Vince McMahon's crash, this Netflix Unreal show, and all of that. I listened to that this morning and I really enjoyed hearing you two guys. You can find me over on X at Stephanie M. Cheese and on Substack as well under the same name at Instagram, which is more fun because I do more Instagram stuff. But SB3, once again, thank you so much. Thank you, everyone, for watching. The next time you'll see me will be to predict Forbidden Door. So catch me back then, and bye.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.